Our revealing Old Testament character today is Ishmael. He was one of the sons of Abraham, and he was a half-brother of Isaac. And you probably already know the emotionally charged story of Ishmael and all the repercussions of that story. But just in case we're going to review it, we're going to start in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 16, if you would like to turn there in your Bibles. Now, Abram, and by the way, Karen, I love the way you pronounced Sarai. I thought that was wonderful, Sarai. I've always said Sarai, but you're right, it's Sarai. And I'm going to try to take your example and say it right. Abram and Sarai, both before God had changed their names to Abraham and Sarah, didn't have any children. Sarai decided that it was her fault, and that was a disgrace. And she wanted to do something about that. And she did something that might sound very shocking to us in our culture, but it was something that was a pagan custom of that time. She invited Abram to have a child by another woman, not his wife. That other woman was Sarai's slave. And that was another custom of the time. The slave's name was Hagar. And she was an Egyptian. She was not Jewish. She was an Egyptian. That's an important point, and I want you to hold on to it. Now, you probably already know that this did not go very well. Things kind of fell apart after that. Hagar did become pregnant. And at first, that seemed like a very good thing, that she was going to have this baby. But what happened next is something that all of us have experienced, either personally or on today's soap operas. And that is that the two females did not get along at all. What is it about women and cat claws?
Meow.
Yeah. Sarai turned on Hagar. She got jealous. She disliked her. She even hated her. She started persecuting her. She treated her badly. All the stuff that I'm sure none of you ladies in here would ever be guilty of doing. I can hear Fred Moll back there right now saying, watch it, watch it. You're in trouble now, you're in trouble now. So I'd better move on. But wait, let's think about this just a moment. These two women had a seriously broken relationship. What was the root cause of that relationship? It was sinful behavior. Sinful behavior that was not part of God's plan. God's plan is one woman, one man, joined together in commitment for the family. What happened here was pagan sin. So by adding Hagar to the equation, Sarai and Abram both sinned. They went along with the culture that allowed that kind of thing. And we learned last week with Melchizedek that we can rise above the culture. Remember that? Just consider all the things that our culture does allow today. As we observed last week with Melchizedek, we can rise above the culture and God can forgive us. Now, here is a staggering truth. If you and I are disobedient and we sin against God, the negative consequences of our sin can be felt on our children and our children's children and our great-grandchildren and for generations to come. That happened with Ishmael, and we're going to be examining that. To repeat myself, if you and I are disobedient to God, it can have consequences on our families and generations to come forever. That is a staggering thought. But this is also true. If we are obedient to God, that can also have staggering, wonderful implications for our children, our grandchildren, and those beyond. Your holy actions, your unholy actions have an effect on your children, your family. And they've had an effect on you. What your fathers, your mothers, your ancestors have done have had an effect on you. The good news is that God can redeem all the negative that sometimes comes out of that. But let's continue and see if there is redemption for Ishmael. Genesis 16, verse 6. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert, and he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." There is another life lesson for us from the life of these characters. Submission to God. God wants us to submit to authority. And that's a living example of what it means to submit to God's authority. And submission to God and His authority and to earthly authorities is not easy. I'm telling you what you already know. It's very, very difficult. We read that the angel of the Lord spoke to her. Who was the angel of the Lord? The Bible does not tell us explicitly who that was. There are many references in the Old Testament especially to messengers or angels bringing messages to people. Good news sometimes, bad news sometimes. Sometimes the text says an angel of the Lord came. Sometimes it says the angel of the Lord came. Who was the angel of the Lord? Some people believe it was the chief angel, Gabriel. Some people believe it was a manifestation of Jesus Christ himself. Theologians will debate that from eternity. No one really knows for sure who it was. I've settled that in my heart. Let's read verse 10. The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because that was what was said to Abraham. But we're talking now to Hagar. And the angel said to her, "I will increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." First person singular. Maybe that was the Lord himself speaking to her. And how did he promise to do that? He promised to do that through the victim in this drama. Who was the victim in this drama besides Hagar? It was Ishmael. Verse 11. The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery." The name Ishmael means "the Lord hears." Praise God that he listens. Praise God that he hears. There is nothing that is going on in your life today that you can't talk to him about, that he cannot hear, that he cannot grasp and walk it through with you. How many times have you heard that? How many times have I said that? The Lord listens to our prayers. The Lord hears. But it's a huge step to have faith in that reality. To place your trust in the God who listens and the God who hears. Can anybody identify that? Verse 12, the angel said, "Ishmael will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all of his brothers." Ah, wow. How would you mothers-to-be like to hear a message from somebody about your child describing him that way? A wild donkey of a man. He's going to be a warrior. Good news, he's going to be the father of a great nation. Bad news, he's going to be a brat. How would you like to hear this? I was wondering when I was reading this passage, how many of you parents or grandparents in here have ever had a child who was not a happy camper? A child who rebelled, a child who brought grief to the family, embarrassment to the family. And how many of us have asked that nagging question, "What did I do wrong? Or what did I do to deserve this?" Oh, I'll bet many of you have asked yourselves that question. Well, here's some bad news. Perhaps it was your sin that brought about the behavior and the rebellion of that child. Here's some better news. Perhaps it wasn't your sin. Perhaps it was the sin of your ancestors, your parents, your grandparents, those who preceded them. And the sin has come down through the generations, and it's come to that rebellious child. Regardless, the root cause of it is sin. It's not the culture, it's not your parenting, it's sin. Now here's some good news. God can redeem all of that. And it's never too late. God can break the chain. Pray to God to break the chain of sin coming from our ancestors on us, coming from us to those who follow us. Pray that He will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Pray that He will turn your mourning into dancing. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see you dance for joy that child has come back. God can do that. You can't. God can do that. Ishmael could not do that. Your rebellious child cannot do that. God can. Now listen to what that angel prophesied once again. The angel said, Ishmael will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. And that came true. And that is the root of the headlines in today's news. Even today's news. It's been that way for generations. You probably already know that too, but let's review it just in case you didn't. God appeared to Abram. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. The name Abram meant exalted father. The name Abraham meant the father of many. And God then told Abraham that he and Sarah were going to have a miracle baby, Isaac, and that he was going to bless him incredibly. And Abraham said to God, but I love Ishmael. I want him to be blessed the same way. And God said, okay, I will bless him also. I will make him the father of many nations. But it is through your promised son, flesh of your flesh, Isaac, that I will establish my everlasting covenant. Little Isaac was born. Ishmael was the older brother, the older half-brother. He became jealous. He started acting like a wild donkey of a brat, and he started tormenting his younger brother. He mocked him. He made his life miserable. Sibling rivalry. Where have we heard that before? Brothers and sisters not getting along with each other because of jealousy. Something I'm sure most of you have never experienced in your life along the way. Once again, the soap opera heated up in this life. And Sarah got so upset with what was happening with her stepson, this older brother, treating her actual son of her flesh so terribly that she went to her husband Abraham and insisted that Abraham banish Hagar and Ishmael from the family. Get rid of them. That's outrageous behavior. I mean, I want to do it sometimes, don't you? Don't you have family members you'd like to cast out of the camp? I'd love to, but that's outrageous. And it was painful for just about everyone around, but it happened, and poor Ishmael and Hagar were sent to the wilderness to die. But God intervened with them, and He spared them. Brothers and sisters, no matter how desperate your circumstances may seem, no matter what wilderness you may be in, God can intervene. How many times have you heard that? How many times have I said that? It takes a lot of faith to live that. Eventually, Ishmael grew up and he got married. Guess what he did? He married an Egyptian woman, an Arab. And thus was the beginning of the tribes of Jews and Arabs. Thus began the hostilities that are in the headlines today. All of the turmoil that's in the Middle East today has been going on every generation, past, present, and future. And it all started in the book of Genesis from sibling rivalry. Two boys who couldn't get along. Sin. Today, the Arabs believe that Ishmael was the son that Abraham took to Mount Moriah and sacrificed. The Jews believed that Isaac was the one that Abraham took to Mount Moriah and sacrificed. And indeed, that is what God's word tells us. But the hostilities in the Middle East today started with one child born in slavery and the other child born in freedom. One who was born as a result of sinful pagan behavior, and the other that was born by the promise of Almighty God through one husband, one wife. In my view, no amount of diplomacy is ever going to resolve the Middle Eastern conflict, ever. It will only happen when Jesus Christ returns. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try, of course. It all started with Isaac and Ishmael, but of course that started with Adam and Eve. Now here's something really ironic. Two generations later, God used the descendants of Ishmael to save the descendants of Abraham and Isaac, the Jewish nation. How? Isaac's Jewish grandsons sold their Jewish brother Joseph into slavery to some traders that were coming through who were Arab descendants of Ishmael. Do you follow that? Joseph was taken as a slave into Egypt. That was an extremely unpleasant and unexpected experience for Joseph. But as you know, God worked it all out so that Joseph eventually was the second in command of the people and eventually allowed Joseph to save his own family from the drought that was coming. You remember the story? Isn't it interesting how God can work good even when sin is at the root and turmoil is confusing and overwhelming? God works for good. How many times have you heard that? God always has a plan. But it's hard to live in faith that He is the one who has a plan, that He's in control. He can intervene in anybody's life and in unexpected ways. And brothers and sisters, that includes your life. Do you have scars in your life from broken relationships? Perhaps in your own family, maybe your sister or your brother or your parents, or is there a broken relationship somewhere? God can heal that and He can turn that around even if your parents are no longer alive. God always has a plan, and God continues to have a plan for you. And our job is to let God be God. How many times have I heard that? How many times have people said that to me? How long is it going to take me to live in faith and walk in faith on this truth? Now here's another life lesson from Ishmael. Ishmael was born by an act of the flesh, not by an act of faith. When you try to resolve your life issues in the flesh, it results in chaos. When you act on faith and you wait upon God, it always leads to God's perfect plan. I mentioned that Joseph's life had an unpleasant, unexpected turn. Well, so did Ishmael's life. He had been in line to be the family heir. Now he's banished from the family completely, left to even die. Brothers and sisters, has something like that ever happened to you in your life? Have you ever had totally unexpected events turn your life topsy-turvy? Something you had no control over, you didn't expect? I'm sure that most of us could stand here and give a testimony today that most of us have experienced things like that. What happens when these things come? How do you respond? I'll tell you what happens to most of us. Bitterness and anger. When the unexpected wave comes in and washes over your life, the tsunami, it's bitterness and anger and fear. Bitterness and anger are not going to resolve life's issues. When you get to the bottom of the mountain, the way to get to the top of the mountain again is through God's hands and God's plans. I thought that sounded kind of nice. It would help me remember it. Through God's hands and God's plans. Help me, Lord. Now, what are some of the life lessons to take away from Ishmael today? Here's one. Our actions can affect future generations. Here's another. We need to submit to authority. Here's another. God always has a plan. Hallelujah. Here's another. So we should not try to resolve life's issues in the flesh. Now, how are we supposed to respond to these life lessons? Ishmael was a man produced by flesh, by sin. Isaac was a man who was produced by God, by love, by promise, by a plan. Ishmael was not the promise. Ishmael was the substitute. Don't settle for substitutes. God promises you joy in this life if you follow Him, if you submit to Him. And some of us seek joy in things other than what God offers. That's a poor substitute. Don't settle for substitute. God offers you rest and peace in this life if you follow Him. Some of us try to find rest in beach houses, and we try to find peace in day spas. Those are poor substitutes. Don't settle for substitutes. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ishmael was not only a substitute, he was a compromise. Don't settle for a compromise. Compromise can cripple the body of Christ. God has not called us to compromise. He's called us to commitment. That was another one that I liked. It helped me remember. God has not called me to compromise. He's called me to commitment, to belief, to faith, to acting on that faith, to having patience, to trust in Him, standing on His promises, standing under the authority of the Word of God, standing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you there? I know you want to be there. Hallelujah for that. No substitutes, no compromise. And with God's help, I pray that that would be true for every person in this room. And therefore, I invite you to stand with me right now and declare in song once again that you are standing on the promises of God. Amen. Let's stand.